Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, and this episode is one of our questions of the Force. We are excited to see if we indeed have answers. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsuck. So happy to be celebrating Star Wars in a May the 4th week and trying to find answers to the big questions you all send us. It's one of our favorite things to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope everyone listening had a great May the 4th day. And if you listen to our episode that we put out on May the 4th, I hope you all found the Star Wars soap that was right for you. With that, we want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are continuing to recommend Brotherhood by Mike Chen, a new adventure of Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker. You know, brothers. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/4center. One more time, audibletrial.com/4center for your free audiobook. Give that one a listen if you're interested. We'll be reading and discussing eventually here on 4Center. With that, let's dive into some questions, two from Twitter, two from our patrons on Patreon. We go first to Twitter and Daniel Mormack. Daniel says, I think we all agree that use of the Force exhausts one. Does it also age certain species? Ken, where do you go with this one?
Well, how about this, Daniel? Maybe perhaps it extends life, okay? Maybe Yoda and Grogu are examples, and Yaddle, examples of the species that lives longer when maybe they don't. But here's my thought on this. I like the idea that extensive use of large amounts of force can take its toll. Again, mentioning exhausting, but just that it could rob a little bit of your life force. But when I say that out loud, it doesn't seem fair. Aging seems kind of unfair, but I can just buy into the notion that, the force is there. It's there for you. It's always there to guide your actions and to be support. But that if you're, I don't know, maybe this is a built-in warning to the Sith that if you abuse it, you could age sooner. Again, they're not going to let go. Palpatine's never been one to be too concerned about his age, I don't think. So, yeah, I know I'm kind of giving a vague mix of a yes and no here, but I do think it could speak to how different species interact with the Force as well. You know what I mean? Where has a different view of it, and it's a positive thing, and age is wisdom. And yes, if you use it too much, maybe it can age you. So I know my point is Opo Rancisis is 40.
He's really, really had a rough few years, poor Opo. I kind of went along the same thought process as you did. I really love the stuff in High Republic, some moments that are, you know, really explicit about concentrating and the power of the Force is endless. But, you know, crude flesh, it's being passed through. I love that idea that the Force is luminous and endless, but it is being filtered through these mortal beings, and that it can be exhausting. Great stuff with Vernestra, other examples. I talked about it before. I really like that in terms of looking at the way Yoda lifts the X-Wing out of the swamp on Dagobah, that it isn't just like, hey, it's no different than a rock. Snap my finger and do a dance. What? I didn't break a sweat, right? It's still a matter of concentrating and focusing. I like the idea that it's exhausting. Aging, though, then gets into this different thing, right? And I went through a similar thought path as you, that for dark side force users, I like the idea that overusing the dark side can rot you, right? That just simmering hate, it just yellows your eyes, blackens your teeth, and it's just like, it's visceral. You feel it. Like, I don't know, for some reason, my body's kind of rotting after I've spent a lot of time just shooting hate lightning through it.
What's going on here?
Pulling just anger out of the cosmic force and shoving it through my body into another person's face. For some reason, my body doesn't feel great. That feels right, but that's about the dark side. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, when I wrestle with this, I really wrestle with like, well, what does the Force mean? What are we saying if it ages certain species? What's that meaning? Mm. And I think I don't like getting into the video game of like, you can only use it for this many dots and then your bar needs to refresh, you know? So I like the idea if you are calm and measured and the Force is, you know, flowing through you almost constantly, it's no problem if you're a light side user and you're using it, you know, in a sort of this calm, measured pace, right?
Yeah.
But then I can see the light side starting to age you if you're constantly actively using it, right? If you're like always on the go, you're always doing huge force leaps, you're always hurling rocks around, you're really actively using it, that then I'm kind of intrigued by, to pull from another Lucasfilm property, you know, it's not the years, it's the mileage, right?
Ooh, yeah, well done.
That'd be one thing if Opo Rancisis quietly communed and meditated with the Force and gently lifted, you know, a snack to his mouth. or adjusted a blade of grass to see what that felt like. That every day isn't going to age you. But if Opo Rancisis was just like, I'm throwing stuff. I'm springing on my tail. I'm in constant active. That it wouldn't even necessarily be bad because maybe the action would be to help people, but they'd be like, oh, look, I know I'm only 20, but I'm only 20 and I don't have knees because I'm Opo Rancisis, but my knees are shot, you know?
Yeah, see, there's something I like about this where it's just kind of, you could get philosophical with it. Maybe it's even a myth, right? Maybe they teach you this in the Jedi Academy. Like, oh, you could age too soon there, and it's this warning. It's just a reminder to like, it's not about overusing it, but how you use it and what you use it for. This is why Anakin might feel he would get in trouble by floating fruit towards Padme. Like, you're not supposed to do this. Again, not that it's your energy bar being drained and that video game thing you mentioned, but just reminder to find balance in the Force and how it's there to help you, guide you, and to keep you, again, a little bit of a safeguard to not abuse this power.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I almost think of it as like something that, like, exercise, right? Like, you can do it wrong. So maybe if you're like tight and aggressive, even if you're using the light side, that it starts to wear on you.
It's about form. Lift from the legs. Yeah.
Yeah. Lift from the legs with the Force. When you're using, even when you're using the Force, lift that rock from your Force legs. Yeah. And then the species, that I am intrigued by too. Kind of went to the bigger philosophical thing, but the species, like, it seems like in general, humans have proliferated across the galaxy and are among the more frail species.
Yes, yes.
In terms of lifespan, that I guess I'm not against that. I don't want it to be like, ooh, I lifted.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's a fine balance. But I'd be fine if it was like, yeah, Wookiee's crude matter is built a little stronger than humans' crude matter is.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm also speaking from, like, as a, you know, aging human in the real world, which we all are here. It's like, I don't. If I tap into something as wonderful as the Force, I want to be rewarded for it, not punished. So, but humans in the galaxy, maybe they deserve it. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, is it's a natural thing. If you use it naturally, if you use it wisely, it's fine. If you if you use it aggressively, maybe it's going to give you some knee pain. There's my final answer.
Yeah, give you some knee pain. But it's also like in the Sebastian Shaw version of Anakin, it's like, yes, he's gone through a lot of trauma, the Mustafar and everything. Like, I it just can work for me. But, like, that there's a little bit of that dark side, cost of the dark side is some premature aging there. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm all on board on that. Like, weren't you 17? Damn.
Right, right.
Yeah. So that's our answers. We always joke about, will we have answers? Kind of. on that one. Any other thoughts before we move on?
No, again, I really, you guys look it up. Oppo is 40. I saw it. I saw it on Wikipedia. No, I'm kidding.
Excellent. We'll move on from the great Oppo's age debate to our next question from M. Flinner 99. M. Flinner says, if you could design a mission for the Galactic Star Cruiser, what would it be and who would you want to see on the ship? This is, of course, referring to the stay in the hotel that is actually, well, it's actually a stay in the hotel, but the narrative is that you're on a Star Cruiser. I kind of looked it up. There's a, if this is spoilers for anybody who is going to be making it to the Galactic Star Cruiser, feel free to fast forward 30 seconds. But I looked it up that there's a kind of a general narrative that even if you don't engage a lot, you'll see the beginning and the end of. But then there are kind of branching narratives depending on who you choose to engage with, that you can choose little missions and little stories. So I think that's where this question is coming from. If we were designing for Galactic Star Cruiser and making up either that big narrative or the little side adventures, what we might make up. Ken, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting because we had the party planning question on the May the 4th episode, and I accidentally just realized I kind of almost have answered the same thing here. But go with me. I want this, what is it, the Halcyon? The Halcyon? I want this thing, this ship, to be used. Its mission is to drop off wedding goers to their home planet so they don't drink in spaceship on the way home. So it becomes kind of a ride share after the wedding, whoever's rented out the wedding, I don't know. And as far as people on the ship, similar to how you and I were planning our party, just who would make that ride home even more of an adventure, right? Because you just can't have it just be a simple drop-off mission. Things got to happen. So I would want Lando and L3 bring a weird, fun energy to the party. He's cool. She's kind of complaining about the things at the wedding, but she's right about it, so you should listen. I do want Ben Quadrenaros there. Just because he's...
For the star quality?
Just the star quality, exactly. Also, I just like the idea at a wedding. He's the one who's like, ooh, don't mind if I do, anytime the food plate comes by. I want Quarsh and Marik Panaka.
Ooh.
The reason being, they're a wonderful example of a power couple in Star Wars, married, doing great things in their careers here. We know the direction Quarsh goes. I understand. But I love, I had an experience of leaving a wedding on buses and everyone had to leave on the bus, like these three buses. It was way out in the wine country area. The adventures on that bus back kind of is the basis of this. And there's always that couple that's really maybe too intense. Maybe they're fighting with themselves and they're not sure why they were at the wedding and they're upset that they're there. and can't wait to get off the bus. And I'm not saying that they're that that's who they are as characters, but just sometimes they're both seem to be very serious, especially Quarsh. So I just imagine that would be it'd be fun to observe them on this wedding party bus home.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. And two quick choices. Sorry, Baze and Sherritt, just because I think they'd be bickering, they'd be having fun, they'd keep the energy going. And then I want young Leia and young Holdo.
Ooh.
Because I think they'd be mischievous and they'd be kind of spinning the plates on all these party goers. Leia, yes, trying to help, maybe all good, not dark side energy here, but just, you know, I could see. And then I'd want the story told through their eyes, like the book that this is based on would be told through their eyes. They're the point of view to this ride home.
Oh, nice. I like this a lot. You pick some great characters. And yeah, the book coming out here eventually with Han and Leia, I think that's their kind of honeymoon. So you're in line with that book with the way the Galactic Star Cruiser can be used. I think probably because we just went on that adventure on our previous episode about the parties, I kind of stayed in the general sequel era for myself. Mm. Partially just to limit myself.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I didn't want to be like, I'd help Yoda build a hat. I would love it if it is in that Resistance First Order conflict era. I would love to help Claude join the Resistance. I was just really thinking through, like, well, what are the narratives? Like, well, okay, clearly the Resistance has really been narrowed down in Last Jedi. There are more allies out there who are afraid to respond, but they've clearly built the core group back up a bit. We get some of that in that Resistance Reborn book of, man, would that be great to just, like, you encounter Claude, you know, if they can do him in a giant stationary animatronic, great. Or if, you know, you go into the refresher and, like, you know, if you use the second stall, you open it and there's Claude. When you open the refresher toilet door, and Claude asks you to, like, pass a note, you know, and that, I would just feel so such pride if I then watched Rise of Skywalker. Like, you know what?
Yeah.
I helped get this guy on board the Falcon.
Story. I love this. The origins of Claude.
Yeah. The Claude origins, and it's really fun to imagine, like, a person in a really weird costume or it's an animatronic that bobbles. The other is I was really thinking about what narratives would it be fun to be a part of. So getting a Force-sensitive kid to Rey, like some parents on board know their kid is Force-sensitive and they've heard about, you know, this New Hope Rey. And it's your job to you know, pass whatever note. I guess that's all I want to do is
pass a note. Yeah.
Look, I'm on a cruise. I can't be bothered. I want to help and feel pride, but all I'm going to do is pass a note. You know,
I'm in the bar here. Hold on.
I'm in the bar here. Yeah, I'm going to pass a note. But that would feel like something like, hurrah, I did something good for the galaxy and for a kid.
Mm. I like that. Here I am. I'm basically throwing an after party, and you're trying to save the galaxy. I love this. I love this.
I love your wedding after party. You know what? I'll go in on that because I already had this couple on my list and I forgot about the whole wedding stuff, which is great. I would love to be on the Star Cruiser and look, the Resistance is going through everything, but maybe it's a honeymoon slash mission at the same time. But Larma Dassey and her wife, Roby Tice, are on the ship together. And look, I part of it came up because, like, I love Larma Dassey, and I just I want her to give me missions.
Oh yeah.
I would love it if it was, you know, like a kind of a little coded mission of just, like, be here at this time. If it was, like, sort of involved in some of the things you can do, like there's a lightsaber training thing. If it was like, hey, look, our contact will know to send the encoded message if you miss every blaster bolt that you try to swing at. And then everybody be making fun of you because you're terrible at lightsaber training. You're like, yeah, but I did it for a reason.
Yeah. Well, this is great. I also think they just, you know, deserve a nice vacation so they could be on there doing both important things and relaxing.
Absolutely. And then my final one, because I would love to go to this sometime, and I'm still really, really torn how I would embrace it. Because, you know, the reviews all say, like, this is best if you really engage. Mm-hmm. And sometimes full extrovert me comes out and really loves engaging.
Right.
And sometimes I just kind of want to kick back and blend into the scenery and enjoy the sights and do the people watching. So I'm really torn of how I would embrace in real life being on this, in this hotel, on this cruise. So I would love it if a mission was to actively drink. Like if it was like, we need you to go to the bar and we need you to have these three drinks. Once you're observed drinking all of them, Poe Dameron will come over and give you the message. But only if you've had these three drinks.
And do you keep the empties there? Is that how they know? Or is the bartender tracking it? Is just they're watching you?
Maybe you have a little card and it gets marked off and the waiters, the server's like winking at you like, all right, I see you're at, you see you only got one more until you make contact.
This is great. I absolutely love this. This is a mission I can succeed at.
Exactly. That's perfect. All we want. Missions we can succeed at. Your wedding attendance informed adventures are really wise, really fun, great stuff.
It's great. Yeah, no, and as far as the hotel, I'm would I love to get there one day? Yeah, I would. I don't know if I would, how I would make it for myself. I'm like you too. Like where sometimes I'm like, I'm all in, let's improv, let's yes and. Other times I'm like, hey, it's a hotel. I just kind of want to go to the lobby bar and sit. So curious. I'm sure. But, I got so scared at Galaxy's Edge my first day. You know, I was emotionally moved by the Falcon, everything. There's employees. And I wanted to say bright suns to every employee. I just sometimes couldn't bring myself to do it. So it's on me. That's on me. So maybe the Galactic Star Cruiser will challenge me.
Yeah, I think you should say bright suns to everyone there.
Yeah.
And they stopped there. So, yeah, I'm sure they would reciprocate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Some great reasons to think about and discuss Galactic Star Cruiser and how exhausting the force might be on our knees and backs. We're going to take a quick break and we will be back for more questions.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we are back to take more questions of the Force. We're going to our questions from our patrons on Patreon. We go first to Commander Cloud. Commander Cloud says, "Greetings, Bombad Generals. Central to the Star Wars saga is, of course, the Force. It's around us, it binds us, yada, yada, yada. Whether you're pod racing, starfighting, or Force Skyping, the Force is there ready to guide your hand or obey your commands, which is all well and good if you are one of the lucky few who can touch the Force. If you aren't, well, you're just going to have to make do. Alongside our forceful heroes and villains are their non-Force-sensitive comrades. And make do they do. So many of them have carried out incredible feats of strength, skill, or just plain luck without the benefit of tapping into a universe-spanning energy field powered by all living things. Which brings me to my question. What do you think is the most impressive thing done by a non-Force user? Jango killed Jedi with his bare hands. Han made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs. Satine converted Mandalore into a peaceful people. Jar Jar made that sick triple axel forward dive. The list goes on and on. But which character do you think has the biggest claim to fame? Thanks, fellas, and may the Force, or in this case, raw, untamed badassery, be with you." Thank you, Commander Cloud, for the great question. This is a really fun one, Ken. How do you wrestle with this? Did you ever have a moment when you were a kid being like, hey, Han did a really great job. Maybe he has the Force.
Oh yeah, the fact that he even operates a lightsaber, with the Tauntaun and all that on Hoth, just made me as a kid tell all my friends he understands. He's training. He's getting there. That was kind of my concept. I think I've told the story before of just Lando had some Force powers. I would tell my friends he could call the lightsaber to him. He just couldn't do other things. So I loved kind of as a kid. Just thinking of it. And part of that is because we talked about it recently of like Jan Dodonna and the legacy of May the Force Be With You. And he says it first, and you just kind of associate the Force and the rebels, the Force and the light side. That was kind of my simple young concept of it, of just like, it's there for all of you and you might tap into it in different ways, which is why I really do enjoy Finn, Jenna, and that feeling that's just there, that's just instinct, and how that could be tied to the light side of the Force, at least just the Force itself. So yeah, I can go with that.
Yeah, I like that too. It particularly with like Finn, who is like a character who is making the choice to open himself up to that calling he hears in Jenna and her whole team as well. I think growing up for me, I liked that Han could do cool things and so could Lando, and just surviving some of those, all the pilots in the Battle of Endor in space, like amazing. And it gave me comfort that, okay, you don't have to have the Force, you can still do cool things.
Yeah.
Hell, those speeder bikes, the biker scouts make it through the Forest, and it feels like you maybe need the Force for that. But no, like I remember thinking, like, if those biker scouts with those helmets can get that good at driving fast, maybe I could too. And I think just growing up, I don't know, all the various cultural input, including just straight up conversations with other kids about Han versus Luke, and other kids being obsessed with asking girls which one is better, which one do you like more.
Right.
I think I always kind of felt like, Han's cool, he's handsome, everybody prefers him to Luke. Can Luke have this one thing? Luke has the Force. Han's fine without it. That's the way I felt growing up. That's maybe great. A bit of my own baggage.
No, I love it. Own it. That's amazing. Let Luke have this one. All right, everybody.
Especially before, Return of the Jedi came out and the whole sibling thing is like, look, Leia's clearly more into Han no matter what she says. Look, can we please? Now he's got the whole, he's frozen in carbonite and you're pitying him. Okay. Enough already.
Love that. I get it. Feel it.
Yeah. So with that in mind, our different perceptions of Han's Force use, we'll go to Commander Cloud's actual question. What is on the list for you with like the most impressive? This isn't a technical Force user, but incredible accomplishment.
Yeah, and this is a great question, Commander Cloud, because my mind goes all places, big and small. And I want to get, when you said Satine converted Mandalore into peaceful people, that's good. That's good. That's big. I'm thinking small. So it forced me to kind of look beyond some of my simple answers. I'll start with those simple ones. I think Jansen and his tow cable. Good shot, Jansen. Yes, that's years of maybe training, maybe a little bit of luck, but you've got to hit that cable on that ankle of the walker, taking fire, Wedge, great flyer, but he's going around. You and I both know how hard that is to do on video games, Joseph. So to do it in real life, to do it without Obi-Wan in your ear telling you to trust your instinct, all that stuff, I want to say that Wes Jansen's tow cable shot, boom, that is a badass non-force skills right there.
That is great. So how many do you have on your list?
I only have four. Only have four.
Okay, okay. Yeah, so share some more.
Okay. Poplu grabbing the vine on the fly. I didn't say they were deep, Joseph. I just said at four. Look, Poplu is, I just love this Ewok. I love, for years, I just have this running joke that he's just, he's a little bit in the drink a little bit. He's a little bit of a problem starter. He might owe you money, but he is just action first, thoughts later. And that's why he's the one that runs to the speeder bike. And so in his state, and I'm not saying he was inebriated, just maybe a little adrenalized for him to grab that vine on the fly, get to safety. I think the force was on Poplu's side that day, whether he used it or not.
Yeah, I mean, look, we can look at that and go, as feats in Star Wars go, is that the most impressive? And if somebody said that to me, I'd say, you get on a speeder bike going what appears to be at least 100 miles an hour and grab a vine.
Yeah. And you can't control, you know, you're barely controlling it. You're hammering.
You're barely hanging on.
You're barely hanging. You're flying. You're going for a ride and you recover just in time to hit the right vine to where get where you need to go. Yes, absolutely. I think you're right. The force was alive and well that day, even though Poplu probably wasn't tapping into it.
Yeah, very, yeah. Very strong. I have four on my list as well, so I'll share two and then we'll kick back to you.
Perfect.
So I tipped my hand by discussing this, but always I think my knee-jerk reaction to this would be Han navigating the asteroid field in Empire Strikes Back.
It's Ooh.
Particularly kind of right when he first gets in there and he realizes how bad it is and he's zipping and zagging and flipping. And it's
totally.
That was always one of my like, yeah, no, I mean, clearly the Force is on this other level and like Jedi can do that by tapping into the Force, but other people can do sometimes Jedi-like feats. Han's just that good of a pilot. That was always a big one for me.
I love that. See, there you go. You're thinking about Han already. I like that there.
Yeah, there's a lot of great Han moments. Another big one for me is I started writing down individual beats, and then I realized, no, it's the whole experience. It is Padme Amidala surviving the Battle of Geonosis.
Ooh, excellent one. Yes.
An amazing combination of resourceful, watching the flow of the battle, taking opportunities, physical strength. But yeah, fighting the Nexu, the great joke of I think she's fine of using the lockpick and climbing and using the chain. There are many jokes to be made about it, but jumping on the Reek.
Yeah.
There's a great TikTok about the physics of that very painful looking jump. If you ever want to look that up. Very, very funny and insightful. Yeah. But then also just like by the time you get to the end of it and they're all surrounded right before Yoda and the clones show up and Count Dooku is saying like, oh, well fought, but this is the end. And it's this slim bit of Jedi left with a bunch of other dead Jedi and Padme with a blaster still standing, right? Just the everything about it. That's a very impressive feat, surviving the Battle of Geonosis.
That's a great one there. And I love some of the references to that battle and surviving it in the latest E.K. Johnston book there, Queen's Hope, of her getting through there and just having those skills, but also that energy, the desire, and the ability to get through it all. That's a great one.
Yeah. So what are your next two?
So pushed a little forward by Commander Cloud's excellent answers there for the big to the small, I went with two bigger ones here. Mon Mothma's speech, Uniting the Rebellion. You and I just discussed that. You had that on your list for your favorite Rebel moment. It's such a wonderful moment. Season 3 of Rebels. Check it out if you haven't. Look, she's someone who's obviously aware of the Force. Probably, you know, I don't know if she consults Force Jedi and maybe back in the day, but you know, I don't know how much she believes. I don't know. I think a lot of it is instinct. A lot of it is her keeping with the spirit of the light side, whether or not she practices belief in the Force or not. I don't know. But I just think that one, that we know how tough it was to get everyone together. We know there were still some obstacles to get through. With the rebellion after that, and of course you got Saw lingering in the corner, always poking at Mon Mothma and her views on the war and the rebellion. But I just think that was a big moment for the Force, as represented by Mon Mothma, and her doing it without the Force, just herself, her beliefs, her heart, and her strength and her courage. So I'll put that one down as a big moment.
Yeah, it was absolutely the spirit of the Force, of uniting people.
Indeed. And then the final one, R2-D2's entire existence. Everything he does, from, you know, launching that lightsaber off the katana into the arms of Luke, and, you know, whether there's canon, head canon, or what I call playground canon, I always felt Luke had a little bit of the Force. And then it makes me think of even Heir to the Empire and how, you know, Mara Jade might have been there trying to use the Force to get that saber away from all that kind of stuff. But I just, at the end of the day, it's R2 launching that thing, the right trajectory, the right angle. So I love that. But just his whole existence, keeping the secrets, being, getting out of tough spots, saving the day. I think there's so much there that you could say that R2 acted without the Force. Droids and the Force, it's a, you know, we don't fully understand the relationship, if there is one at all. He could hear the words, but maybe not even know how to believe or how to have faith. He's R2, he's doing it on his own, and he's doing it with the biggest secrets in the galaxy inside his head.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything from just surviving the battle where we meet him in The Phantom Menace, right? Mm-hmm. Surviving, not unlike the other droids that get lost fast. He survives and he lives to save Padme and attack the clones. And yeah, you're right. I love thinking that. What if Luke didn't have to nudge that lightsaber with the Force at all? That was just like a perfectly calculated hole in one. Like, like if he was golfing, he's like, yeah, no, I see it's very far away, but I can get this ball exactly in that hole. No problem. I can calculate the trajectory and the amount of force needed. This, come on.
Love it.
I could do this in my sleep. I could do this in low power mode.
That's R2. I could do this all day. Poof, launching the
sabers. I could do this in low power mode all day. Yeah, that's great. Two more for me. That was a great one. Poe Dameron's TIE takedown on Taco Donna, which is just fun to say, but I love that shot when it's from the ground perspective in Force Awakens. Finn is tracking. I think I've gone through for trivia contests and counted the number of TIEs that Poe Dameron takes down. But it's a great shot. It's a great shot. And I love Finn's enthusiasm of, wow, that's a pilot, right? And him not yet knowing that that's Poe and building on that connection. But it's just another moment for me of like, look, Star Wars is this fun space fantasy. And we're told there are some, you know, feats that only a Jedi could accomplish or uses Jedi instincts, like seeing things before they happen. But then we get examples like Han in the asteroid field and Pablo on the vine and Poe's TIE takedown on Taco Donna. It's like, look, there's a lot of skilled people out there, Force or not.
I love that. That's a great one. I love that moment, too.
Yeah, and then encouraging myself to think bigger with the great Satine converting Mandalore and your great example of Mon Mothma's speech. I'm going to something that we didn't actually get to see, but we know that it had to be just an absolute triumph. And I'm going to Rise of Skywalker and Lando's speech to the core worlds, right?
Ooh, yeah.
Because the whole plan is we're heading to Exegol. We're going to take out this. Then we're going to take out that. And we're going to have lots of help because Lando's going to go to the core worlds and broadcast. Mm-hmm. Lando's going to do some pirate radio, one speech to save the galaxy. And I kind of love that we don't know exactly what Lando said, but we know he killed it because the galaxy's fleet showed up.
That's a great one. Yeah. And I don't know. It's another discussion. It's one of the moments maybe I wish I could have seen, but at the same time, I kind of like that I didn't see it, man. I kind of like what you're saying. I don't need to see it. I can imagine it from here on out. So anyways, I love that. That's a great choice.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a fun one. This is a really fun thought starter. Thank you very much, Commander Cloud. Any final thoughts on this one before we go to our final question, Ken?
The only thought I'll say this is now whenever I'm watching a Star Wars movie, this is going to be in the back of my head. I'm going to be paying a little bit more attention to this and this great question.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to go then to our final question from Calum Stone Street. Calum says, hey, guys, loving all your content in the new format. Thank you very much. I was just wondering what some of your favorite non-Star Wars films are that feature multiple actors that have appeared in the galaxy far, far away. I, like Joseph, do love Christopher Robin, but one to note for me is The Death of Stalin, which features both Jason Isaacs and Rupert Friend. That is great. Yes, I have a hard time stopping talking about the film Christopher Robin. Stars Ewan McGregor, Oliver Ford Davies, Amanda Lawrence, who played Larma Dacey. This is the Larma Dacey episode, as well as some other genre favorites like Peter Capaldi, the 12th Doctor, and Hayley Atwell, Captain Carter. Lots of great people in that film. Ken, where do you go with this one?
This is a great question, Caleb, and also a real tough one, to the point where I had to kind of do some like Googling, like Star Wars movies with Star Wars people, like had to do that, because I thought, oh, this will be easy. There's a lot of examples, and I couldn't. They weren't just rolling off off the conveyor belt of answers there, and it's because it's the specific nature of it of Star Wars films featuring multiple Star Wars actors together. Because you know I could list you a bunch of movies that the other actors appear in, right? I mean, that's pretty easy. So I had to dig, but also went with my heart on one of them. I'll start kind of more recent. I am a big fan of Black Panther and the MCU film. It's one of my favorite ones. And just, you got Lupita Nyong'o, you got Forest Whitaker, you got Andy Serkis. So there's a lot of modern Star Wars, and yes, it's MCU and it's closely related, but I had a couple of those moments of, obviously I can separate them from that, but it was just kind of so recent and in the middle of this era that I enjoyed that. Also recently, it's one of my fiance Grace's favorite movies. And so I hadn't seen it and she was like, oh, we come out, we're going to watch this. And that is Ex Machina, a great film, but to watch Poe and Hux have any kind of interaction is especially ahead of ours as a coworker, really fun. And then the final two here are classics, at least for me in my life. One I'm cheating, completely cheating, but it is a actor and a director, so working together. But I was very aware of it, and I've mentioned it before, but Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which is actually a remake, with Frank Oz directing and Ian McDiarmid as the butler for Michael Caine. And I've told him before, but for newer Four Center listeners, it was the movie came out, 87, 88. And even though I was like 12 or something, it was one of the first times I realized, oh, the people in Star Wars do other things. Got it. So that was a lot of fun. If you guys have not seen it, check it out. He has some great Palpatine moments. And one of my greatest regrets is being at the Last Jedi premiere. Very fortunate to be there. And I stood 2 feet from Frank Oz and had my moment to thank him for Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and I didn't. And someone from the 501st swept in and took my time. God,
did they say thank you for Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
They did not. They just talked about Yoda. Come on. Everyone's going to talk about Yoda. Maybe the Muppets. I had the words. You ever had those moments? You're like, the drink's in my hand. I'm 2 feet from Frank Oz. And I'm saying, just go over and say, sir, I'd like to thank you for Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. And I didn't do it. I regret it for the rest of my life. So Frank Oz, if you're listening, you're not. But thank you for Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Final one for me, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Come on. You got Han Solo, General Veers, and Admiral Ossel. Michael Sheard playing Hitler. Come on. And you got Walter Donovan, of course, Julian Glover, and then Harrison Ford, of course. But yes, that was I just absolutely loved that. And again, when in 89, I'm a teenager by this point, so I understand the concept of working actors. But man, it was something to see Julian Glover for me as Walter Donovan, to be like, oh my God, that's General Veers. Veers is in another movie and it's with Han Solo. That was one.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And boy, Michael Sheard, he's great in everything. He's in several great Doctor Who classic Doctor Who serial episodes. But he's so great in that scene that just recently rewatched that film, that scene, it's weird to say good job being Hitler, but
it is.
But yeah. Amazing job. That's a great pick. All of them are great.
So there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. I got a couple here. One with that, like we're in this modern era where, you know, we attach to certain actors, even when they have, robust careers where they play lots of characters, we can kind of attach to specific actors because they're the person we know from something we love, right? Mm-hmm. It's been happening with MCU and with, like, you know, Dune, you know, coming out recently, and Oscar Isaac talking about, you know, wanting to be a pilot, and like, but yes. You are. So one of those for me is a film that I really love. It's a weird science fiction film that I really recommend if you like weirder, maybe a little darker. Annihilation, that stars Oscar Isaac and Natalie Portman, and they're in a relationship. So you get to see Poe Dameron and Padme
so funny
in a relationship, and It's a good movie, too. So that's one that jumps to mind. Another weird one for me is a David Lynch film that is from 2006. It's actually having it's in theaters again right now in art house theaters. But it's a fun mix. I love this example of Death of Stalin with some interesting cross sections of Star Wars actors. But Inland Empire stars Laura Dern,
right?
Who we know as Holdo, of course. And then one of the main co-stars in the film is the master codebreaker himself, Justin Theroux. Right. But the thing that really puts it over the top for me and makes it special, there are some great bits with a butler played by Ian Abercrombie, the voice of Palpatine for much of the Clone Wars.
That's great.
Yeah, so that that's when I is a weird collection when you're like, hey, wait, like I saw this movie a long time ago. I rewatched it recently. And like, wait, much like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, but different. Like, there's Palpatine. Yeah. This is only one actor, but I'm going to bring it up because I can. Mark Hamill is in a film called Brigsby Bear, which don't Google it. Don't look at what it's about. It's to me, it's about many things. It's a weird comedy, but it's about what it is to be a fan in some ways. And I absolutely love it. It's got Mark Hamill and a bear, Brigsby Bear. Check it
out.
There
you go. That's Kyle Mooney's, right? Yep.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I really love it. It's weird. You know, full warning. And then my final one is one that I think I vaguely remembered, like, oh yeah, there's that actor pops up. And then I almost had to pause as more and more Star Wars actors popped up, and not ones that you see all the time. I'm going to 1983, the James Bond film Octopussy. It is a treasure trove. Jeremy Bullock, Boba Fett, Lieutenant Shekel, appears in a scene as Q's assistant. There is a nuclear weapons expert who is very intense and scary and looks kind of familiar. And like, wait, that's General Madine. That's Dermot Crowley.
Oh, wow. I just thought he was General Madine.
Right? How do you ever see, like, I didn't even see it. I admit, I didn't see him in the film. I saw him in the credits. I was like, wait, what? No, because he doesn't have the beard.
Wow.
Or the pointer. I can't recognize that man without a pointer. And then the final two, they are Air Force leaders. I believe one of them is in charge and one of them is the assistant. They pop up a couple of places in the film, but they pop up in a pivotal moment where Bond has to convince them there's a bomb. In James Bond, Roger Moore is desperately trying to get these important people to believe there's a problem. And the people he's trying to get to believe there's a problem is General Ryken and Admiral Mahdi working together, Bruce Boa and Richard La Parmiente.
Oh, Bruce Boa sighting. That's amazing.
Right. And it's just fun because it's just like it's kind of not a surprise because it's 83. It's early 80s and it's the actors who are working in the UK at that time. So not a big surprise, but it's just amazing to see all of them.
I'm going to eventually do the deep dive on the Bond stuff and catch up to my love of the Craig Bonds. But that's a great pull. Yeah, and you're so right. I was trying to think of that era, too. Like, William Hootkins had to show up in several things with other Star Wars people, right? I know he shows in Batman 89, but, like, I was trying to think of things like that. And he does in Raiders of the Lost Ark, to be clear. But, that's a great era for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, and I had one of those moments with William Hootkins. I was looking him up, and I believe I remember this correctly. He voices one of my favorite video games. He's in a voice in one of my favorite video games, Eternal Darkness. Never know. It was one of those things like I'm trying to go to bed and I just like I suddenly perk up looking at Wikipedia and just want to like shout out the window. Does everybody know Porkins was in Eternal Darkness? Porkins was in Eternal Darkness. No one would know or care. But maybe some listeners would. So I thought I'd share.
It's beautiful.
Very, very fun. Very fun one. Thank you all for the question. That's it, Ken. Those are our questions.
Oh, great questions this week. If you have questions for us or just want to find us, follow us or reach out, you can do so on Twitter by following us at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. We'll keep you updated very soon here in May. We'll have another live Q&A episode on our YouTube channel. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Podcast is available on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and more. Just search. You'll find us. Merch is available at T tpublic.com/user/4Center. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/4Center. Don't forget, at Star Wars Celebration on Thursday, 2 p.m., we'll be on the podcast stage as guests of Alex and Molly Damon's Star Wars Explain show will be there. I can be found at Ken Napsok. You can't find Joseph there. You can just find me at Ken Napsok on social media and my website, KenNapsok.com. Joseph, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all the other stuff that I do. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for all the Star Wars actors in non-Star Wars movies and television, this has been Force Center.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.